Good evening, blessed fellow Christians. Today, you are joining me, Pastor Connor, on Confessing Concord. This is a podcast of Transcendent Truth Media Network. Let's see. I hope that that camera is in the middle where I placed it and not over this beautiful painting, of Christ's crucifixion. Anyways, how are you? Good. Okay. Greeting to you from me. Last time we were in the Book of Concord, we were moving our way through the Augsburg Confession, and we were doing so on a trajectory, if you will, towards somewhere. That is the end, obviously, the completion of the whole confession. And as we do so, we find ourselves in Article 11, and that's the article on confession. And confession is an interesting thing in the Book of Concord because of the way that it was understood and spoken of, not just here, but and not just elsewhere, but really everywhere, is that in this book, the Augsburg Confession, as you know, as we've been saying through this trek, and I know it's been broken up, we'll try and get through the rest of it faster, is that this is a political document. This is the Lutherans pleading with the state above them and over them and the Church of Rome to except that they are Catholics, that they are in the church, that they are not to be excommunicated because we are holding the true Catholic faith inviolated, inviolate or unviolated, whatever. I had the Athanasian Creed in my mind. So that's where we are. And people say, well, it doesn't say a lot. You know, we were just talking about this in the Lord's Supper article. It doesn't say a lot, really, about the Lutheran view of the Lord's Supper. Well, true, it assumes a lot. And that's the same with every article. And so here also, a lot is being assumed. And one of those things that's assumed, not only here, but also in the rest of the Book of Concord, is that the way that confession is spoken about is as confession. Right? Of course, this sacrament is confession and absolution. And one of the, not just confession, but of course, confession is used as shorthand. One of the really interesting things, though, is that as you see through the, just if you go and you look at every single article in the Book of Concord on confession, and I have done this work already for you. I did a presentation on this elsewhere, not for school, but for something else. But what you'll find there is that anytime Melanchthon or any other confessor says anything about confession not being a sacrament or not being instituted by our Lord, what they mean is the enumeration of sins and this particular rite. Right? And by the way, well, actually, let me finish that thought. Sorry, I do this a lot, don't I? Is that he does not mean the absolution. Whereas actually, he says the absolution is instituted by our Lord. It is a sacrament. It is commanded. And you are not free to not do it, right? So the thing that's being discussed as free, that is to be retained, is actually the enumeration of sins and this rite of private confession. It's not actually the absolution. Nobody has the freedom to not receive the absolution. No pastor has the freedom to not give it. But even so, if you are a Lutheran pastor, you confess this document, and therefore, even though you might think you're free to not be administering private confession and absolution, you're not because you confess to do so. It's the same with the vestments issue. People say, like, oh, the vestments and the liturgy, these things are adiaphora. True, they're adiaphora. You also confessed in AP 24, verse 1, that you'll do it. And you took vows on that. So I don't know what to tell you there. But it's a very short article we have for us today. Let me actually just close this so that I don't feel bad for putting my face over it. There we go. So we begin and we end in one paragraph. Concerning confession, it is taught. Now, notice there, even just stop there, concerning confession. He doesn't even say concerning confession and absolution or concerning absolution, but concerning confession, that is the enumeration of sins and this particular rite that goes along with it. It is taught that private absolution should be retained and not abolished. However, it's not necessary. Now, again, remember what I was saying. It's not necessary to what? To absolve? No, that's not what he's saying. It is not necessary to enumerate all misdeeds and sins, since it's not possible to do so. For who can detect their errors? Again, it's short. But what's being stated here is that confession and absolution, and this does not mean the public thing that we have now. Actually, the public thing that we have now, this thing we called public confession and absolution, did not exist in the Lutheran Church until very, 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 very recently. And what this, I guess, is or should tell us, I know it won't because people are obstinate and don't want to listen to reason or plain sense, is, well, what's ended up happening, let me just tell you basically, is that no one comes, very, 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 very few. And, obviously, in congregations where this is not a problem, it's not at all a problem. But what the problem is that there's swaths and swaths and swaths of congregations and districts and entire synods that have not used this sacrament at all. Don't think it's a sacrament. Don't care about it. Of course, they have the public absolution in the divine service, and that's another conversation as to how that's to be done liturgically. Is it to be done and written in our liturgies as an unconditional absolution, or is it to be conditionalized, such as you find in the Reclaim hymnal, such as you find as the alternate option, or maybe it's actually the primary option, I don't remember, in the LBW, which is what we use, right? Is the absolution to be based upon faith as a prerequisite, or are you simply absolving people in the name of and in the stead of and by the command of Christ? That's the question. Like, how does this work itself out liturgically, in the public setting, and in what way does this come to the forefront in, I guess, parishional life? Because what is supposed to be happening, according to the confession that you all confess, if you are Lutherans, is that you are doing private confession and absolution, private auricular confession and absolution, that you are going to a pastor. And yes, it is a pastor, because you are to read this and understand this in light of what we confess about the keys of the kingdom, and in light of what we confess about Article 14 in regard to the exercise of those keys, that small catechism for the keys of the kingdom, Augsburg Confession 14, in that only pastors are to do this. And so you go to your pastor and you confess your sins. Which sins are those? Those are the sins that are burdening you. And people would say, "Oh, yeah, but you don't have to go unless it's burdening you." Look, here's another thing. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I am not at all concerned with protecting Christian freedom in 2023 in Canada. All we've done is use that and abuse that. What we need to get back to is actually having concern for things in this country and in this context and in this setting. And one of those things that I would say is that people say to me, usually other pastors or lay theologians who are concerned with the way that I, in their eyes, have flippant disregard for Christian freedom. And all I say is this, like, because their point is, well, the confessions say that we are to go and only to confess the sins that are really troubling our conscience. And I say to them, well, if that's the case, then let me ask you, when the last time you were troubled enough by your sins to confess them so as to receive the absolution was? When was that? Another way to do this is you simply ask a whole group of them, when was the last time you went to private confession and absolution? Have you ever gone? That's another question you could ask them, right? And the shocking thing you'll find is that while they hold up this whole thing about only going when your sins really trouble you, when your sins really burden you, ends up just leading to the basic truth and fact that for most of them, their sins don't bother them at all. Their sins don't bother them enough to drive them to go and receive the forgiveness of sins, and that's what's really being given here, and that's what the word absolution means. And there's not really anything else really in the in AC 11 for us to actually pick apart and to extrapolate upon in that regard. But basically, all it says is that this is to be retained. It's not been in so many contexts. And people said, "Oh, it's because we don't feel burdened." Well, that's a bigger issue, right? Saved people are burdened by their sin, right? Are you converted? Are you converting? What are you? Because it kind of just looks like you have cold, dead hearts with no feeling, that you're not convicted of your sin, that you're not concerned about anything. And, I am sure that they would love to play this off as just this amazing faith that they have in God that's so strong and that they're going to sin boldly and all this. But in reality, that's not what it is. Because faith comes through the absolution. And so Where is your faith? Where's it coming from? So it's coming from the divine service, but that's not the kind of faith that comes from the divine service, because the kind of faith that comes from the divine service brings you back next week. The kind of faith that comes from reading the Word of God at home leads you to read the Word of God at home the next day. The kind of faith that comes from receiving the Eucharist brings you back to the altar again. It doesn't tell you you've had enough and don't need it anymore. And so I have a really, really hard time believing that anyone is banking their lack of use, or they're not using the gift of the sacrament of confession, as being this great strong faith that they supposedly have. I really don't believe that, because the kind of faith that comes through the means of grace is the kind of faith that brings us back to it again and again and again. Right? Otherwise, we would read the Bible once and be done, or we would come to church once and we'd never come again, because we would just have such strong miraculous faith. But again, that's not the way faith works. So again, let's just come back to the text, pull it apart. Concerning confession, again, shorthand for absolution, it's taught that the private absolution should be retained and not abolished. Of course, he means abolished in an intentional way, but here, let me add another thing that's really true. We shouldn't let this go by the wayside. And this is something that Luther says elsewhere. I don't know if it's in, I think it would probably be the small cold articles. I'd have to check. But regardless, that this sacrament, and it is a sacrament, and if you're confused about that, go to the small catechism. It's very clear there. But this is, oh, by the way, if you go back to the small catechism series we did, I discuss why it's important to understand it as its own sacrament rather than a use of baptism or an application of the word. Anyways, you can go look at that. But that this is not to be abolished. It's also not to be just left and abandoned by the wayside just because you don't feel like you need it. But rather, pastors are to teach how important this is, how much of a gift this is, because that's what it is. It's a gift of God to be used in the church by the church. It's a command of God. And if you don't believe me, let me, I know I'm flipping tabs around all over here. But if you go to John chapter 20, where the Spirit is given, he breathes on them, says, receive. Well, I have the King James in my head. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whatever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. There it is. I know it, the text is small, but 21 through there, right? You could go to James, right? If you, how does he say? Well, let's go and look. I forget what chapter it is, but he says, actually, let me pause it and look for that. I feel embarrassed now for not having remembered, but it is a little bit late here. It's chapter 5, James 5, and this is where he's talking about praying for one another and for the healing of the sick and calling of the elders, that's the pastors, to come and anoint them with oil. And this would be what the Catholics and the Orthodox would call extreme unction or holy unction or whatever. We have this too. It's just that it's not labeled as a specific sacrament, though obviously it's commanded by God. It's there, but here too. So also this is commanded by God. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Notice it's not confess your sins to God, it's confess your sins to one another. And as we know, the one another here is through the office of the church, which is the pastorate. And so, I mean, for me, this is not an issue, or this should not be an issue. It's an issue because people have taken Christian freedom and they've allowed that to bulldoze what they know they should be doing. And that's not the proper use of Christian freedom. And there is something that needs to be said about that. I don't know if it's going to be addressed on the Blood and Bone podcast with Pastor Roland and I next time we get together, because we are getting together soon to be doing the Easter season overview for Verbum Dei, or if that's just going to be a blog article. But it's important to understand Christian freedom, its proper use and its misuse. And of course, on Lutheran Library, we will eventually, hopefully in not too long, be getting to Luther's great work on Christian freedom. And there he touches on, of course, its proper uses and its misuses. And he has great words near the end of his life in regarding how Christian freedom has been not used, but misused. And basically, at the end of his life, at the end of seeing what the Reformation had done, one of his final comments was basically, they took grace and they took the gospel and they abused it. And that's not what he wanted the church to continue doing. And that's not to say that the Reformation failed. It's that As we go on, we have correctives and ages and ages and ages. The corrective we need now is the same corrective he was hoping that we would have done. And actually, they did enact that. They didn't have this problem from the time that the Lutheran Orthodox picked up the hammer, let's say, from where Luther left off. They didn't have this problem until Lutherans came to America and they became evangelicalized, and that's how this era came back into our church. And so now we need to push again, and that's in the spirit of Luther, not in a spirit against him. That's in a spirit to go and teach of the gift of confession and absolution, to go and teach of the riches that we have there, to go and urge people into what we might call the evangelical necessity of this thing, that this is something instituted in the scriptures for our sake. It's not to be abolished. It's to be taught. It's to be held out. And actually, I wrote an article on Shrovetide and Shrove Tuesday, and that was all about confession and absolution. Maybe I'll have to do a blog cast on that and a discussion about that. But you can go there and find that. That's on the website. So, anyways, I hope this was. I mean, its helpfulness can be is going to be limited, obviously, just because of how short this article is. We don't want to be saying things from other articles. As we deal with this. So next time we get together, we'll be doing Article 12. I'm really bad at Roman numerals, I'm sorry, but concerning repentance. Repentance, some would say penitence or penance, depending on what translation you have of the Book of Concord and the Augsburg Confession itself. So anyways, I hope you guys have a blessed week, and I will see you next time.